in the open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown. Oh, baby, this gets pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What is up, North Dakota State University Bison fans? This is your host, Ross Uglum, publisher of the Bison Report on 24/7 Sports. And what a massive Sunday. What a big deal. I don't think it would be out of bounds to say that the North Dakota State University Bison have delivered College Game Day to Brookings, South Dakota. I think you're pretty much fooling yourself if you think they'd be in Brookings without NDSU, as much as Brookings, or as much as South Dakota State has accomplished being a top five program for the last few years. They're not going to move the needle in that way, and they don't have Lee Fitting, a James Madison. They don't have a South Dakota State alum on the College Game Day crew, so far as I know. But that's the A topic. That's topic number one. Of course, Trevor, who I'm going to bring on in a second. But of course, Trevor and I are going to break down North Dakota State's 22-0 win over over Missouri State on Code Green Day. But the A topic and the number one thing, I think, has to be the fact that that frankly, College Game Day is headed to Brookings for the Dakota Marker game, and what an unbelievable showcase for this rivalry. And I want to bring on now my guy, the lead football analyst at Bison Report and South Dakota native, Trevor Gebhardt. Trevor, how are we living?
This is a very exciting day, Ross. We have Gebhardt's already have our plans made. We have our lodging reservations made, a.k.a. I'm staying with family. Flights are booked. Now we just got to figure out how to get the 8-month-old to Sioux Falls without breaking a sweat. So we'll be tested, but we're excited. And can't believe this is actually happening. It's pretty cool.
It really is. And full disclosure, Trevor was absolutely my first text message. As soon as I found out, I had to make sure to try and get him back up here. And we're going to do some fun stuff. His lovely bride, as most of you know, used to work for Midco. We're going to maybe try and get her involved a little bit. We're just going to have some fantastic coverage on top of course, College Game Day's fantastic coverage of this upcoming weekend. Trevor, you were, I believe, a junior the first time around and a senior the second time around. How much did you guys get involved, and how much was it just kind of cool from afar? Because obviously you guys are literally prepping for a football game.
Right. So, yeah, it was my junior and senior year when Game Day made the Fargo appearances, which was pretty cool that it was the last 2 years I got to play. But as far as involvement, you don't really do much. We went to the set the first year. I think we went the second year. I can't really remember. But actually, yeah, we did, because I remember thinking back on a photo that we took. But, I mean, we went and saw the set. We saw some of the cast. So I got to meet Corso and Dez. Even got to meet, drawn a blank on the name, but the one that was Reese Davis.
Chris Fowler.
Just took over for Chris Fowler, correct. Got to meet him. He actually came out to one of our practices, so that was pretty cool. The cast said they typically don't get to meet the players at these deals, and it's simply because most of the games are top 10 matchups and top 25 matchups in the FBS ranks, and the coaches aren't looking for any way to lose focus. Certainly, there's just a heightened sense of energy in those instances, no different than we've experienced in Fargo and now Will and Brookings. But those other two games, we weren't exactly playing the top tier of our subdivision, so going and visiting the set, and that wasn't too much of a distraction, because I'm pretty sure we shut out both of those opponents, similar to this last Saturday. But, man, the biggest thing with it, it's so rewarding because you, as a kid, growing up watching college football myself, I can't speak for everybody, but majority of the guys, you watch College game day almost every Saturday, and you just think, how cool would it be if I got to have that for the school that I played for? And when you wake up on that day, it is a little bit different because you turn on the TV and you're like, whoa, that's right down the road. And they're here for the efforts that we have all put in. So that's very rewarding, and that can never be taken away from you. So just to be able to have that and say that, it's a pretty cool experience, especially being at an FCS school where it doesn't happen that often.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is the ninth instance of College game day being in an FCS matchup, with the third, you know, being involving North Dakota State, and that's 33% of their 33% of their FCS output. And I could not tell you how long College game day has been on the air, but it's a big deal, and it is massive for the exposure for the program. It's a really big deal for South Dakota State, and I'm not trying to sound condescending, but it's a huge deal for that Jackrabbit program, for them to host a game, you know, this event, host a game. It's a game that they've won, I think, two out of the last 3 years, and it just doesn't get any bigger than that. And this is something I want to kind of, and it's a little bit difficult for you because this is not the staff that you played for. You certainly worked with some of these coaches, but not all of them. And I just kind of want to talk about how big of a deal it is to keep these kids focused, because it's a young, young North Dakota State team. I don't think anybody would argue with you on that. And there's just so much going on for a lot of these key contributors. It's the first time, you know, that they're going to play for the marker. It's obviously everyone's first time that it's going to be College game day. It's a road test. You're undefeated. You got the streak. I mean, how do you block out that much noise?
You really just know that you have a job to do, and all of the cool stuff surrounding it isn't really going to be memorable unless you come out with a win. So I think you just know that you have a big job in front of you regardless of all of that, and understand that all of that stuff is cool. You don't want to not acknowledge it. I find it kind of weird when coaches do that and say, no, we're just take the Bill Belichick approach, where it's, you're kind of numb to emotion. You know, it's effective, but it's also, you can't hide the fact that you know that that stuff is there. So I think just acknowledge that, yeah, you have bright lights ahead of you. You have probably one of the biggest regular season matchups, considering game day is coming. Just adds another element that we've seen in FCS recent history. But also understand that it doesn't, regardless of the result, it doesn't make or break you, but you can help position yourself for the playoffs a lot more favorably with the win. So understanding what's at stake, knowing what you have to play for, despite all the bright lights and everything else surrounding it and all the hoopla, you just can't get caught up in it. You can acknowledge that it's there, but I wouldn't make it your main focus and try to, I guess, be cool, so to speak.
Yeah, it was a little bit interesting in Matt Ince's press conference when he said they didn't know who was on the schedule following Missouri State. I don't think I'm going to be able to go with him on that one. I think that might have been a minor fib, but you know, he didn't want to make it look like, obviously, that they were focused on the next game. But this is a massive, I mean, it's a massive deal. It's an absolutely massive deal. But before we get into, and we will, of course, have a, you know, a full breakdown edition, preview edition for the South Dakota State game. We couldn't find much to talk about heading into Missouri State. We're not going to have any problem trying to find stuff to talk about going into this game with young. Like I've said on a number of occasions this season, with the way that Youngstown State looks, I firmly believe that this game in Brookings is likely North Dakota State's only obstacle to a second consecutive undefeated regular season. I don't see the loss if they win this game in Brookings. By the way, a game that they're currently 19.5-point favorites to win, which is wild. I mean, that's the talent level of this team. It's the expectations that come with this program, and expectations are kind of where I want to start this next topic, Trevor. And that's that I feel like, and I was a part of the problem, but not a huge part of the problem, but I feel like the coaching staff, specifically the head coach and the offensive staff, are spending way too much time apologizing for a 22-0 victory. I actually ran in to our mutual friend, Ben LeCompte, at an establishment after the game on Saturday, and he kind of voiced a lot of the same opinions. Was like, guys, it's a 22 rip conference win. I do you struggle with that? I mean, the point that this program has gotten to, where, you know, Coach Klieman loves to tell the story of in 2016 beating Iowa in Iowa when they're ranked in the top 15, going to the national semifinals. And then at Hornbacher's, a sweet old lady, you know, kind of shares her condolences with him on the tough season.
Only four teams ever in FCS history have beaten a ranked FBS opponent. So that's a conversation for another day. I find it ridiculous that, even if a fan was to complain about this week's results. When you go back to 2013, everyone talks about that team being one of the best ever, along with 96 Marshall, and you could probably throw in the 2018 Bison somewhere within that conversation. We won a game by 1 point that year, and it was at home, and it was against a conference opponent, and you're not going to be perfect every Saturday. The biggest thing is you just don't want to have a blemish on your record, and that's all that matters at the end of the day. And I don't think it's wrong for players or coaches or fans or whoever to acknowledge that there's stuff to work on. Well, if there were elements of the game that people couldn't find that NDSU needed to work on at this point in October, I'd be actually worried, because that means the team's probably not going to improve. And it's kind of like the stock market, man. You're going to have ups and downs, and you just got to make sure that when you look from point A to point B, that it went up and that it outpaced everybody else in the process. So I don't think that there is a major cause for concern by any means. I think these kids are very resilient. They won 22 rip on a code green day, which is pretty dang cool. I think there is stuff to work on, but man, like, you're going to have an off week. You're going to have a week where you don't cover the spread. You're going to have a week where you're not basically living up to the expectations that are unrealistic at this point. That everybody expects you to have. So as a fan base, I don't think there's any room to complain. There was hardly anybody at the game in the second half. I've got photo evidence of people putting it out on social media.
Yeah, it was not good. It was not something to be proud of if you're a North Dakota State fan. That was visibly upsetting.
So, I mean, yeah, and I get it. There's a sense of fatigue based off recent history and how dominant the program has been. But these guys still deserve the support that we got way back in the day, man. I mean, we had the experience that I had. It was unmatched. I don't recall a time in the Dome other than maybe a hunting season opener where it was not just packed to the rafters. And the support we got was incredible. And we weren't winning the games to the same level that they have been the last season and a half now. We certainly had our fair share of wood sheddings that we gave people. But in 2012, we won a lot of single-digit games. We just found ways to win, and I think that's probably what made it a little bit more fun for the fans. But this is a special group, and I think people need to appreciate it and just understand that it's not going to be perfect every single Saturday.
And it's a hard, I think, realization for some folks. I've kind of been a little bit famous for continuing to kind of compare this North Dakota State dynasty to like a dynasty on dynasty mode for EA Sports, NCAA football. And that's kind of where we're at. You just simulate every game with 99 overall players and win 52-10. And it's a joke, or, you know, we think it's a joke, but it's a realistic, serious expectations, I think, of some of these fans. I mean, you know, I wrote about it today in my three quick things. People just have to get a grip. The offense, yeah, could they have scored more points? Sure. They had 447 yards of offense on Saturday. 447 yards a game would get you in the top 25 nationally for total offense. They're eighth, by the way. They're not in the top, you know, they're not 23rd, which is where 447 would be. They average more points than that per game, and they are eighth in the country, both in total offense and scoring offense, while, by the way, milking the clock down to 2 or 3 seconds on most plays to run the ball and keep the clock running. They have no goal of running 75, 78, 80 plays. It's not Bison football. So I struggle a little bit with the expectations and the lack of gratitude and understanding that, you know what, you're watching the greatest dynasty in the history of college football at any level. This has never been done before in NAIA, Division II, Division III, not Mount Union, you know, not the current Alabama dynasty, because, you know, that nobody is doing what North Dakota State is doing, and no one has done what they've done. And I just think there needs to be a little bit more appreciation. But condescending to fans is not usually a popular topic or even something that's helpful, but it just kind of needs to be said, I think, heading into what is now just a monster week. Did you have a chance to watch the game on Saturday, Trev?
I was watching my daughter most of the day. Carla had to work, so she got into it a little bit. She didn't quite understand it because things would happen, and she would go, ooh, and I'd have to try to explain to her. But she's quite a ways off from understanding my my level of football IQ, I guess.
It's understandable. So what did you think the issues were as far as finishing drives? Because I don't think you can pick on a lot. A couple of things down the middle with the passing defense, but ultimately not anything from that game that you're going to, you know, view as a big-time, long-term concern. I think that you saw a really nice game from Destin Talbert, which he was a sore subject 2 weeks ago, but really solid from him. An excellent game from Jackson Hanke, who was a little bit of a sore subject last week because of some of the stuff that got completed over the middle. Overall, nothing to say about the run defense. I don't think there is anything you can say about the run defense, especially with two true freshmen and Eli and Will Mostart getting their first looks, with Brendan Cook out for the season, Tony Pierce unavailable, Barty Ogbu unavailable, and Derek Tusk unavailable with a hamstring. That was a big time effort from the front four, really. To be down that many guys and to dominate in that way, and specifically, frankly, get called out by Steckel for being the reason they won the game, to have your second and third stringers, to have the opposing coach say that a group that was really your second and third stringers was the reason that you won the game, I think is just a testament to Code Green. So we're going to give the defense a pass. It was Code Green Day. And I don't mean that as they did anything wrong. I mean, we're literally going to give them a pass. There's nothing to talk about. They dominated the game. Offensively, what do you think was going on as far as not finishing some
penalties.
Drives?
I don't know how many false starts there were, but there were at least two or three that I can recall. Penalties will kill drives faster than anything else because you just lose momentum. It just takes away the any confidence that you might have going into a drive. And there was one or two even that I believe the drive started out with a penalty. And then the most basic coach answer is execution. A lot of miscues throughout the game. Very small, subtle stuff. I don't know if it was just not being on the same page, not having good reps all week in practice. I don't know what the case is. I'm obviously not there all week. But very simple execution that can get cleaned up very fast, even within a day or two. Third down conversion was very average. I want to say NDSU was 40-something percent. That's kind of where we've made our hay over the last decade, and that was very average. So what you saw was a very average amount of points on the board, especially considering what this offense has shown to do and how explosive it has been through this first half of the season. So there's just a multitude of things that can add up quick and make it look worse than it really is. Penalties are a no-talent issue. So that should be taken care of real fast. And then you have the execution, that I mentioned, which we know they can execute. They just got to get on the same page to whatever it is. I don't know if they were trying out new wrinkles in plays. I didn't pay that close attention. If that was the case, it very well could be why. And then, of course, third down conversion. So majority of that can get cleaned up very easily by Saturday. And I think the level of focus will be heightened, so I'm not too concerned about that. So, and then Code Green, like you mentioned, not much more to say. They're phenomenal, pitch to shutout. And anytime you can come out with a shutout, you're more than likely going to win the game. So kudos to them, and glad to see that some added depth was brought to light. So long term, that'll bode well, especially going to the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, what if they play like that against South Dakota State? Well, South Dakota State doesn't score, NDSU's going to win. So that's the answer to what if they play like that against South Dakota State. And again, it's not their best game, but you know what? And this is something that you kind of talked about too, Trevor. That's the game that they lose. You know, in the 2015, 2016, 2011, 2012, that's the game that they lose. The game with the questionable, if you will, opponent, but the game in Fargo, not a road game, not a business trip, but the game in Fargo where for whatever reason, it's just not there and some stud comes and takes something away from North Dakota State. But they were just so gifted defensively that it just wasn't going to happen. And what a game from Jabril Cox specifically. I said this on BRTV post game, take all of, even to the field side, I don't care. Take all of the option plays that option Jabril Cox and test Jabril Cox and just throw them in the flaming dumpster because that went about as poorly as I would have told you pre-snap it was going to go. What an unbelievable just hawking down that Jabril Cox did there. All right, Trevor, I think that's going to do it for us. This is kind of a shorter version of the show. You and I are both trying to watch Carson Wentz against the Cowboys here, but we just wanted to get this show out for you guys right away on a Monday. We're going to be able to get this out to you hopefully prior to Coach Entz's press conference, which means that maybe we'll have to give you the pre-game day pod a little earlier in the week, potentially addressing some of the injury news from, you know, Zach Mathis's injury, anything that Coach Entz tells us on Monday. But you can, of course, just follow the Bison Report Twitter account to find out all of that information in real time. Thank you, Trevor, so much for your time. Really appreciate you coming on the show. Thank you, listeners, if you have made it all the way through this brief version of Bison Report Radio. And the number one way to support Trevor and I in this venture continues to be to become a VIP member of the Bison Report, which I think right now at this moment is 50% off of an annual VIP subscription. It's been 30, but I'm pretty sure right now we are rocking a 7-day free trial on the annual pass, which would be $4.48 a month. One pumpkin spice latte from Starbucks a month for the next year. And just would make a tremendous difference for us, I promise. You like BRTV postgame. You like having three shows or three pieces of content a day instead of three pieces of content in a week. It is the VIP members that make that possible. I promise it's the number one way to support us. Thanks, everybody, one last time, and go Bison.